Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamplett and Michael Sudrich, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamplett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight. Very intriguing episode, not only because we're just a few weeks away from TakeOver 36, of course, Michael Hamplett, but yeah, all the fallout from the mass firings at the end of last week.
Yeah, it's not on the WWE.com preview, but I'm assuming the show is going to start with a 10-bell salute because NXT is dead. But in the meantime, the stuff they've talked about, and indeed the stuff we're going to talk about here, feels like it exists as much as content for USA Network to believe that this pig is indeed flying through the air and not completely gone yet. And it's still good. It's still good because they're paying whatever they're paying for this TV show.
No.
And well, even if they're paying out, they're getting ripped off. Those execs want to be asking big questions about the stories that their wrestling fan friends were reading over the weekend about this Tuesday night broadcast they've got. We've got stuff to talk about leading up to TakeOver. I don't think they've done an awful job of setting up that card. I don't think the stories have been captivating, but you look at the matches on paper and it looks like a half-decent show. But how will all of this feel in the shadow of the weekend's news? I'm so pleased, if nothing else, that this is live and not taped, because we may get the first glimpse at, I don't know, any kind of response, tacit and cynical as it may be, from a
few more lights,
a pissed off and dejected Triple H on tonight's show.
Yeah,
what's he going to bury in the copy of a promo or something? What's he going to send poor old Dakota Kai out there to say, where he's going to be like, this is not a show for 80-year-old idiots, and we know who she means.
This is where the real ice stuff happens.
Ilya Dragunov finally comes to NXT, and what does he do? A John Laurinaitis impression. It's just like Trips and Sean getting all the grief out in the form of all these talents that are scared to lose their jobs. It's going to be great.
It is weird, isn't it, Sig? Because, I mean, you, I know you missed last week, but it is such a surreal thing to be walking into. You know, Bobby Fish gone, Bronson Reed gone, Mercedes Martinez gone, Jake Atlas gone. I could go on. And it's not only the releases, though, is it, Sig? It's this impending major changes that's going to be happening with NXT as well. And what on earth happens then?
Yeah, I mean, it's that direction is going to take a while to take root, because they have to hire these lummoxes before they drill them into becoming halfway competent, which will be exposed badly when they are expected to catch a dive. So I'm expecting much of the same. Like, this philosophical sea change. And you know, it's WWE, they might just change their minds. But this feels like, no, this hasn't worked. We're going back to muscle men. It'll take a while, so I expect this to be a very run-of-the-mill NXT show. And I expect morons who don't get the linear unfolding of time to grasp that it will, in fact, take some time for WWE to hire these new recruits in this new vision, and they're going to think, that's still small. You know, still some good matches on this show. I think Dave Meltzer got it wrong. Or did he? Did he? Or did just 3 days pass by? Is that what's happened? I think that's what's happened, actually, lad. So, yeah, it's going to take a while for these changes to take root. I'm expecting a run-of-the-mill show. Come on, Triple H, man. Please. Be a knob.
Have a dig.
Have a lash bag. It's John Laurinaitis. Are you going to sit there? Are you going to stand there and take it from John Laurinaitis? I need a croaky voice promo. Do you understand?
Mm.
I need someone to, like, kick out of a cutter at one. I need someone to dick about with a skateboard. Like, come
Cameron
on,
man. Grimes to Cameron Grimes fetching LA Knight's skateboard and having it run to the ring with it and then giving him medicine because LA Knight's like, I can't speak, man. I've lost my voice.
Let's talk about what we can look forward to on tonight's show, though. Sijin, this is the penultimate NXT before TakeOver 36, of course. And we've got Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly going face-to-face, as me and Hampton talked about last week, a rivalry informed, of course, by what we all know about what's going on outside of the CWC, let's just say.
What did he say? Sorry, I was just... It's NXT. I usually have a few lapses in concentration
at the moment. We all know they're maybe going towards a, I don't know, loser leaves NXT angle, because Adam Cole's future is very much up in the air right now.
Seems like the play either way. You want to get Kyle O'Reilly over, and he's either going to the main roster or he's going to AEW. So you might as well add some stakes. It's the thing to do, because it would be dumb not to do it. But WWE's word is such trash now that the last time they tried a loser leaves a brand stipulation, despite the fact that Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan was going to be very good at a minimum, hardly anyone watched because no one believed it. So that's the thing about this company. They could do loser leaves NXT. It would actually, for once, appear to make sense as a stip, but no one believes it anyway. Like, the chickens are coming home to roost, and it's fabulous. I'm going to eat them. But yeah, that seems to be the play. My worry with such a heightened high stakes stip is that the material is going to be delivered with a level of histrionics that I simply can't abide. But yeah, it's a sensible thing to do.
It feels like a face-to-face where, like, they're going to have a conversation, but there's nothing to say. They kind of require the stipulation for this to be interesting at this point. They've done face-to-faces and standoffs and conversations before with these two. I'm picturing that ginormous table that kept them apart before their first takeover match. And indeed, we've had kind of promo battles since, even if they've not been speaking to each other, they've been speaking about each other constantly. They've been in each other's business for what feels like an eternity at this point. But there isn't anything left to say. And the one thing they've never properly labored on, not enough for me anyway, from Kyle O'Reilly's point of view, is years of pent-up frustration about being an underling in the Undisputed Era. They've left that well alone. They've just tried to make him six different things instead. So maybe go for that. If you're going to talk about loser leaves, or this place isn't big enough for the both of us anymore, talk about how for years this was Kyle O'Reilly's place, and yet Adam Cole kind of put a thumb on that and stopped him getting ahead, or, you know, whatever. It's not the most scintillating stuff, but then the combination isn't particularly scintillating either. It's a match that feels like it has to happen because they put this story in place rather than because people are really feeling it or people want it. I will say these things can be subjective, and in the run-up to their last takeover match, there was a minor ratings upswing for segments featuring these two and for the viewership of NXT as a whole. So there might be a tiny bit of juice left in the fruit for the real NXT hardcores. I don't really feel it at this point. I still think the most intriguing thing about this is just getting to see Adam Cole in this environment and trying to read tiny facial expressions, or like trying to see what inflections he puts on particular words and if he's giving anything off beyond the storyline itself.
I wonder if he is out the door, no word on what the situation is yet, whether or not he's just going to go a bit rogue with what with them returning to live TV this week and say, Kyle, you think you're the best here in NXT, but I am elite when it comes to this sort of thing. It'd just be fascinating to see what happens if they did do drop something like that.
Get numbers for a change online, wouldn't they? So, you know, they might just that might be Triple H's attempt at revenge. Oh, right. AEW's a problem, isn't it? Well, I'll just become AEW one move.
Also, interesting that we'll probably have the second match within 3 weeks of Undisputed Era infighting, and the loser has to leave NXT. Right, let's talk about Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai. That was announced, I believe, yesterday officially. It's official for TakeOver 36. This week, Raquel Gonzalez breaks her silence. And a lot of pressure on this one, Hamflet.
Yeah. We talked over the last couple of weeks about the inherent issues at the centre of this match happening now and the breakup and where it veered off course from the Shawn Diesel breakup, which, of course, it was modelled upon. They need to babyface Raquel Gonzalez more than she appeared in the segment where Dakota Kai turned on her, but not as much as Diesel on the front of the WWF magazine grinning and smiling. They need to like help her find her edge. She needs not to shout at the loyal fans in the CWC, but to shout specifically at Dakota Kai. You got me once. I turned my back. Something along those lines. But that isn't going to be enough when we're face to face, when it's a fair fight, when I've got a standing start, blah, blah, blah. You have no idea what you've unleashed. And if anything, you should have known better because you've been by my side the entire time. Just stop her being too cool for school, being too hard for the room, all of that kind of thing, just to let Dakota Kai know that she's made an absolutely enormous mistake. I thought the Kai promo last week was a step in the right direction off the back of the year. It just laid out the stuff that we could all see. Again, it wasn't like these were particularly well-hidden things. We could see that the story was always going here. I just thought last week's package, as is often the case in NXT, did a better job of moving the story along than when they decided to deploy this turn. I'd say give Gonzalez a bit of her agency back. Nothing too complicated or convoluted.
Sorry.
All of this still has a chance.
I was yawning at the prospect of NXT, not your preview of it. What night does main event air? I've literally got no idea.
I think it's Thursday or Friday, maybe. Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
Have you seen the spoilers for it, Wilborn?
Yes, I saw this.
Well, main event mega fans might want to
pause the podcast.
Might want to meet the podcast because we've got a scoop and a spoiler for you. So if you're interested in WWE main event, I advise you now to mute your podcast feed for the next minute or so. I apologize for doing this, but you know, it's a very important development. Aaliyah goes over Dakota Kai, NXT title challenger at a takeover, no less, on main event this week. Vince McMahon is daring Triple H to piss off at this point. He's daring him to take a swing at me.
Yeah.
He's daring him. I understand, maybe from Vince's perspective, not my own, the Bronson Reed thing. Bronson Reed's got like quite like nice, friendly quality to him that Vince just would probably think, asshole, big, meant to be like that. Karrion Kross was a message, but you know, it's been received. Come on, everyone received that. Like Aaliyah, at least it was Jeff Hardy, you know what I mean? Like a guy who, even though he's been in main event purgatory for the last however many months, we're blatantly waiting for normal words. He's a guy who they like to promote in a big spot traditionally. All due respect, Aaliyah, going over Dakota Kai on main event. That's Bruce and Johnny Ace. Absolute being bastards. Like, so. One, I think that's a funny tidbit. Two, how can I take seriously Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez just doing jobs to Aaliyah on main event? Like, I know the two worlds are different. I know that the divide has never been starker. I know that main event canon doesn't necessarily inform NXT canon. But still, you kind of take it seriously. And it's not the fault of NXT Creative, anything but. You have to caveat it with that statement because it's absolutely objective, accurate fact. But it's still in the same universe.
It's a hell of a precedent to set, because it's the sort of thing where you could say, all right, it's calm down. It's not like they're going to send Raquel Gonzalez up there to lose to Dana Brooke, is it? And then you're like, well, yeah, they might.
Yeah, probably.
There's plenty of precedent for that. You know, poor old Shawn Michaels and Triple H must be looking at the hands questioning everything. It's great, isn't it? It's great. It's great because it's them. It's great.
It's great.
Show me. Give me another side by side of sad Triple H and Bret Hart sipping from his glass of wine with his wife, with his grandchildren at the end of that documentary that they're doing him. Just give me all the side by sides.
Give me salt and pepper touching them up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's look ahead to a match we've got advertised on tonight's episode of NXT, which I know you'll be excited about, Michael Sidgwick. Ember Moon versus Saray. We always love watching her in between the ropes, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I expect this to be the in-ring highlight of the show. I expect this to be really, really strong, actually, for reasons that are good and bad. The good is that Saray is excellent. Ember Moon, while not particularly interesting or cool or relevant, can still go. Everything's in place for a sweet little back and forth. But, like, these people are going to be job scared. Everyone except, I would say, Roman Reigns, Sasha Banks, Randy Orton, Lashley,
Charlotte
Flair. That's it for me. Everyone in that entire company is going to be job scared. And it's not the nicest way to get a proper eye-opening, I'm up for this performance. But, you know, that's probably going to be the byproduct of it, at least on NXT. Like, you may know how regulated the main roster is in terms of how they pace and lay out their matches. It's very hard to transcend those impositions. But on NXT, like, I expect them to just be absolutely flying all over the place, full pelt, to try and convince higher-ups, like, you know, I can still do a job here. And it's not the nicest way to go about it, but the byproduct should be some rippers.
Yeah, it's sort of getting hard to, not just from obviously this weekend, but generally the trajectory of NXT over the past few months, that just, you can sort of see the journey that various wrestlers are going to go on. So you would presume Saray is going to win this match. It's kind of a first big win. Ember Moon is the person that can be fodder at this point. She still has the kind of value that she presents a hurdle, but really it's a stepping stone. That's the kind of level Ember Moon is at currently, and that's fine. You have different people slotting in and out of those kind of spots. And then Saray perhaps goes on to eventually be a challenger to the women's title. But what have we just discussed? The current challenger to the women's title is being used in a pawn in a game of chess between, you know, Vince McMahon's top table and Triple H. Raquel Gonzalez, you would expect to win, but then that's probably going to bring her out the other side of that as the not just the dominant woman in the division, but the dominant baby face. And Saray is a baby face. That makes that all more difficult. And what will NXT look like in the months to come? It's just getting harder and harder to map all that out, which thus makes this trickier to engage in, because you're probably going to be able to enjoy this at a surface level. There's going to be a cool eclipse counter or a dodge, And it's going to be really hard fought at the point at which Surrey lands that awesome low drop kick that we all love. You know, the finishing stretch is probably going to be class, but all of it's feeling very undermined by the bigger picture at the moment, including the women's division, which might be the last thing Triple H can hold on to, generally speaking, in these releases. And this is far from a science, and I know there are rule-proven exceptions, but there have been less releases of the women than the men. And I think that's a particular highlight point in Nick Khan's big spreadsheet, because somebody might be advising him that that's one of the few things that, as a company, they've probably still got going for them, that oppositions don't, that looks really good from a PR point of view, that is an easy argument winner. So maybe the women's division is the last kind of thing to hold on to, perhaps, in NXT. I'm only saying all of these as maybes. It's all caveated, it's all qualified with who knows. But it's just, yeah, that can maybe be the only investment in this kind of stuff at the moment. And I do think it'll undermine what would otherwise be like a quality contenders match, as they would call it. You'd be looking at this and thinking, this might line up a number one contender. But what's that even going to mean in 6 months?
We got a brilliant video package, of course, last week, Hamflet, setting up Walter Dragunov 2. Sensational match. Look forward to it. TakeOver 36. We're being told, obviously, Dragunov's going to be on NXT tonight. Is that going to be just a promo? Is it going to be a match? Is it going to be maybe even a confrontation with Walter? What do you reckon?
I want Dragunov to beat the out of Imperium tonight and have Walter look on from the ramp as a surprise, unannounced appearance on the show. Imperium come out to make a... Dragunov comes out to speak, the usual, gets interrupted by Imperium, but he just absolutely batters them, completely batters them. And Walter appears on the ramp, and you've got people in the CWC genuinely excited for something. They want to see Walter walk the ramp and go face-to-face with Dragunov, obviously to save his men, but also to, you know, to give you the big visual for the rematch. And he won't do it because he's been in there with him once before. He knows what pain that he can actually be put through Dragunov, what felt incredibly real, sat watching it as expertly worked as it was in the BT Sports studio. I dare say this will act as a primer for people to go and watch that if all of this is new to them, because that match was such a hit amongst the hardcores and amongst the very online of us. But I don't know what particular crossover that had. I don't even know what crossover NXT UK has, full stop. So this might be a nice sales pitch to go and watch that as a bit of homework before the TakeOver match, if you haven't seen it already. And yeah, Dragunov looking physically strong against Walter's dweeb mates, to the point where Walter questions whether or not he wants a piece of him now. I know it sounds pretty functional and basic, but I think that's all they need to do to set up this rematch.
It's not only what they only need to do. They have to do this. If memory serves, the only exposure the mainline NXT audience has to Dragunov was that match against Balor at Worlds Collide. And it was like pin drop stuff. I think he got them into it by the end, but they had no clue who he was, which speaks to just how invisible NXT UK is as a brand. So they have to do the functional here. The stuff that I would normally just think, oh, what low effort crap. They have to do it. Like, they have to establish Dragunov as someone worthy of investing in a long takeover match. I personally would do a 1-2 punch. Dragunov in action against insert any of the heels they've got left. He kills them, put over his finisher, big, absolute 101 bread and butter stuff. He celebrates a victory, beaten down by Imperium. So you've got your introduction to this virtually brand new character. You see him and you get a taste of what is happening next with him. Like, match and beat down, like, it's the only way they can do it. Drop your pen.
In terms of Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe, obviously it's just been shouting back and forth mainly. We saw obviously the segment last week, Sige, where they had to shoot it a second time because everyone kept chanting Hardy. Will they clash again, do you reckon, this evening? Is there going to be a line from Samoa Joe that says, at best at TakeOver, you've got a 50-50 chance? Or what do you see with those two tonight?
They'll not do that. They want to preserve the idea. I'd piss myself. They want to preserve the idea that he is, in fact, this undefeated, like, force of nature who destroys everything. it's just when I read the WWE.com copy, that's the voice I can't help but read it aloud in.
It's like when Mauro on the takeovers had no levels left to reach, so he just did a monster voice instead to try and get stuff over.
It's the structure.
I went too big in the open, Nigel. I've got nothing left.
I was trying to do more Mauro stuff. Brent's annoyed at this because I haven't got one ready.
Carry on, my wayward soul.
Right, they're probably going to have some words.
Well, you know what I mean, like, long-term
what did you do last week?
More than words.
I only watched the problematic sushi stuff because the only time that NXT's appeared on my timeline last week. I scrolled through Twitter. I didn't watch the show.
They just shouted at each other, basically. Karrion Kross came out and stood on a desk and shouted at him. I just love, very quickly, your thoughts on the sushi stuff. Zoe Stark and Io Shirai.
I bet your road dog loved it. I bet your road dog wrote it. Absolutely yucking it up. Like, I cannot believe that made it in 2021. Like, outrageous. Ugh, do these people eat? Disgusting. Like, the thing is, it was offensive in several ways. One of which is the fact that, like, it's, we complain a lot about NXT, particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, where Shawn and Triple H's melodrama has just been like thrust upon these guys to the point of parody. We're now getting like proper WWE stuff thrust on performers that's just not suited for. Like, I like the caveat, all my burials with people who I don't think are dicks. But the nice thing first, because I don't like to be nasty, right? Zoe Stark's great in the ring, or at least has the potential to be great, and you see these great raw flashes. She's got knee charisma or comic timing whatsoever. Like, it was problematic. Is this on material? And it was, it's an actual comedic skit. It was so piss poor. It almost scanned as like new school anti-comedy. Like, if that exact pitch and register was on like a Tim and Eric sketch, I'd think, oh, that's amusing because it's so wonky and wrong.
Yeah, we said it was like something out of the bloody 70s. And alongside everything you pointed out there, you're quite right, Siege, that whole thing is dreadful. But even if somehow you could have argued that the majority of that sketch was, you know, poking fun at themselves for poking fun at that, or whatever you want to try and complain about and argue that it's justified, I think the fact at the end she went and chatted to the waitress and was like, wait, you're from this country? It was just like, oh my God, that's the road dog cherry on top there, isn't it? It's just ridiculous. Let's talk about something more serious. Ian Cary Grant, baby, to the moon. Michael Hamflett, what next for him? An LA Knight.
Our last match, I guess. Ted DiBiase, arm around the shoulder stuff last week, wasn't it? That's where we're at with the story now, yeah? Like LA Knight walked out on him. We those tag team partners just couldn't coexist. So yeah, I guess we'll get one more match between the two. The thing is, they've got to book a match where Cameron Grimes can wrestle for his freedom. And how do you logically get there now that you've actually passed the point that LA Knight's getting sick of him? Like 2 weeks ago, the whole deal was, I need Riddia. And then Cameron Grimes, well, let's have a fight over it. You can sort of see where they land upon that. LA Knight's just figured out how to take the piss out of Cameron Grimes again. It's by setting him up to lose in matches. It's by making him work in a butler's outfit, all that sort of stuff. I think this is takeover worthy. I do. I think rounding this out with a nice moment for Cameron Grimes is where this story needs to end. Maybe he wins the $1 million title and then he gives it back to Ted DiBiase, because the learning experience for Cameron Grimes here has been not just about coming into the wealth, but find out how to use it properly rather than use it to be a complete arsehole. And it all wraps up as just a nice thing they've done. But I'm not quite sure how you actually get to the match, because now surely LA Knight wouldn't want to free Cameron Grimes from this prison that he's in.
So I didn't watch it last week, so I didn't have to. It was all heading, when I was before one on holiday, to this apparent point at which Cameron Grimes became so annoying that LA Knight would rather just get rid of him rather than humiliate him, because Grimes is total, like, that's what I'm looking for here. Obliviousness, didn't realize this was a punishment. Mm. And just LA Knight was furious that he didn't feel humiliated. What happened last week?
They had a team together, and then LA Knight walked out on him, did the old drop off the apron for the tag thing, left him to work as a butler. He got battered by the Grizzled Young Vets. And then after the fact, Ted DiBiase came out and was like, Cameron, it's like I always said when I was a villainous heel that hated everybody, you've got to get out of this situation, friend. You know, like, just in a very, very non-Ted DiBiase thing, considering that all this started with him ripping the piss out of him. It's like, you gotta get out of this. So now we're back to Grimes having to somehow escape this situation.
It's like I said to my parish, got to get out of this. Otherwise, I'm liable. I don't know then. I don't know how he gets out of it. I thought he was just going to be so annoying that LA Knight would just go, right, okay, you oblivious idiot. I don't want you to be my butler anymore. I want to get rid of you once and for all by winning a wrestling match or whatever, and you never get a sniff at the $1 million title, and I don't have to deal with your stuff anymore. So I don't know. Do the match. Cameron Grimes deserves a nice moment because he's so entertaining, and he is bound for the 24/7 picture, if not the unemployment line. So I hate to say that, but recent indications trend towards that being true. So I'd like to see something nice happen to him in the meantime.
Yeah.
What's your take, Wilbur? He's your guy. How would you like all this to play out?
Yeah, I think you're right. I want to see a conclusion, maybe at TakeOver, although you're already looking at that card, assuming there's going to be, let's say, 5 matches on there, and it's filling up pretty damn fast. So I don't know whether it's going to be that soon, but yes, you need to be working towards him getting away from being the butler, but also becoming the $1 million champion, because that should be the crescendo of this story. To be honest, yeah, like you said, with all the cuts and firings and stuff that we've seen, just happy that he's still got a job for this week. But Sidge is also right in terms of, I'm worried about his future within WWE. And especially considering what 2.0 did on AEW last week, there is certainly green grass elsewhere, let's just say. Let's conclude, though, by the highlight of NXT last week, Hamfler, of course. We had the Love Her or Lose Her match between Gargano and Dexter Lumis. And yes, Gargano won, but Indi Hartwell is not property, so she made her own decision. She thespressed Dexter Lumis and got off them as we went off the air. I thought it was a lovely finish to the show and a fantastic conclusion for Index, although the story isn't finished just that way, is it? Because, I don't know, I'm fascinated genuinely to see what they do with it this week. Does Dexter Lumis join the way? How does, you know, got Johnny Gargano react to all this? He's going to be great in terms of a, but I won. That doesn't make sense, trying to stand in the way of true love. You've got Candice LeRae, you've maybe even got Austin Theory coming back going, what's bloody going on here? Will Dex Lumis join the way, or what happens for you with this lot tonight?
It's a strange one, this, because I think Johnny Gargano, even in very small doses, has been so good in delivering all of the material. Sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's missed, yet he still made the best of it. That I want skits, but never want to see the match again. Like, it cannot lead to, like, let's, for argument's sake, say the mixed tag that appears on, you know, right there. If you want to do Candice LeRae and Johnny versus Index, it's not something I particularly want to watch, because Gargano and Lumis have just gone at it over and over again. That's not a new pairing. It's not an interesting one, even if you've now got Dexter Lumis and Indi Hartwell. But I do like the skits, and I thought it was just really pleasing to see them actually see a storyline through last week in the way they did. Fans in the CWC popped huge for the moment. People online liked it. You know, it was the shared GIF image, whatever, of NXT. It actually leapt off the page for a week on a taped show, no less. Mm. People were glad, like those that had read the spoilers were still glad to see it play out, just to see it for themselves, and that it wasn't cut or anything like that. People had investment and they were rewarded, and that's nice. So I think you probably do skits about Indy trying to sell the group on Dexter Lumis. And maybe the trick to it is because Austin Theory is a bit thick. That's the gimmick, in inverted commas. Austin Theory is a bit thick. Maybe she manages to sell him on Dexter Lumis and Austin Theory because, hey, you know what, he's all right. Like, come on, let's let him hang out. Let's get him around the house or something. We were pitching bits, weren't we, where they have like, what was it, like a date night round at Gargano's house, and Dexter's just staring intently at that TV that Indy Hartwell bought them, so Johnny Gargano breaks it, so they can't have the date there anymore. Like, I'm sort of in favour of all that nonsense. I just don't really want or need it to lead to a match.
Yeah, we suggested last week, Sige, that they go on a date. We see them on a date, Indy and Dexter, not talking, just looking at each other, and then two giant, I don't know why they're Italian, to a giant Italian menus get folded down, and it's Gargano and Candice trying to spy on them, basically. And yeah, that sort of thing. There's a lot of fun to be had still here.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I don't give a toss that WWE reneged on a stipulation, because I thought the stipulation was just so retrograde and bollocks. I'd like them to exhibit a little bit of self-awareness here. I would like Johnny Gargano to outright tell Indy Hartwell, per the stipulations of the match, you are not allowed to go out with him on a date for whatever. And simply for Indy Hartwell to turn around and say, am I your property? Like, do I belong to you? And then once that question is posed very sternly at Gargano, and go, well, and I like put it like that. Don't know what the hell Road Dogg was thinking. What is he doing on this show? So that's what I'd like to see.
Tell you what, if we get that, oh, I can't wait. Let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT this evening on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamlet at
Michael Hamlet.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll have the NXT review. Not my problem, but it'll be out tomorrow.
It's my kind of problem, man.
I'm off for a week. You have fun, lads. Nice quiet week with Rampage being launched as well.
Oh, God.
Our Raw review is available right now. And yeah, these guys reviewing NXT will be there tomorrow as well.
It's good, I'll tell you, it's good, guys.
I'm going to be dipping in. I'm going to be like just checking in, just making sure you two are behaving this next week or so.
Killed you off last time, didn't
I? Yes.
The download just appears just to satiate Wilborn, but it's just 30 minutes of that loop of the just upload it. He won't. It's fine. We'll get away with it. Nobody on Twitter tell Dad what we've done.
Right, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.